Daily's dirty.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, dude, we've got a nice little party going on around these parts, baby. Thirsty Thursday. We have a Thirsty Thursday in the studio as well. I hope everybody out there is having a Thirsty Thursday as well. Go out and have you a couple of drinks. Rockets play tonight. Catch some of that Rockets action. They are absolutely a good time. Fun watch.
Let's go, Rocket.
Yeah, there you go. Representing the city in a big, big way. And we got this thing year-round. Obviously, the Astros have been rocking and rolling for several years where we can actually sit down and enjoy them repping our city on a diamond. The Texans are back doing their thing on a gridiron. And now you got the Rockets out here on the hardwood doing their thing, man. It's absolutely beautiful. I can't wait to watch that game tonight. So stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610. We'll keep you covered on all of it. I want you to download the Odyssey app. I tell everybody every day, download the Odyssey app. Make sure you're listening via the Odyssey app. You can take us any and everywhere you go. They've got cool features across the board, all the podcasts, the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to segments. So that Odyssey app is the way to go. Right now, we've got a big-time contest going on with the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to Sports Radio 610 60 minutes a day. 60 minutes a day. Every day you listen for 60 minutes, you get one entry into the contest. And here's what the contest gets you. The contest gets you and three friends flights and accommodations to Las Vegas for the first round of the big-time college basketball tournament. You picking up what I'm putting down, baby? Flights and accommodations to Las Vegas for that weekend. I'm telling you, I've been down there that weekend. It's absolutely tremendous. On top of flights and accommodations, $20,000 for you to spend however you would like to spend it while you're there. All you got to do is from right now till February the 23rd, right? You've already missed 3 days because it started on Monday the 27th. Through February the 23rd, every day you can get an entry into that contest. $20,000 flight and accommodation to Las Vegas for the first weekend of that big college basketball tournament. Ron, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm
thinking about turning. I'm about to turn on the Odyssey app right now. No one has told me that I'm not eligible to win this, because that is a dream trip for me. That's a bucket list thing. That is clearly, like I've told you, that's probably my favorite event, my favorite sporting event. Mm-hmm. And first two rounds in Vegas, that I've heard that's a trip I need to do.
In 20 stacks to do whatever you want to with. I don't think I can win it. I don't think I would feel good to our listeners, but I'm really considering forcing every relative I have to do it.
Mm. Yeah, they can pull it off.
And then they can invite me. See, we don't, you know what I mean? See if they can pull it off. So again, man, that is absolutely big time. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, listen to Sports Radio 610 for an hour every single day, 60 minutes. If you will. We're doing you another solid now. Real quick, before I get into this Patrick Creighton stuff, this Area 45 stuff, the Texans, they've requested an interview. They've requested another interview. The Texans have requested an interview with Commanders assistant head coach and offensive pass game coordinator Brian Johnson, per league sources. Baytown native, you heard me. Baytown native has been an offensive coordinator for the Eagles. Now he was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. To be completely transparent here, he was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles last year. He got relieved of his duties, and the story that I kind of put two and two together was that Nick Sirianni made him the scapegoat on why the offense was bad, why the struggles happened. Yep. Now, I don't know. That's just what I heard. That's just what I'm.
Their team melted down last year.
Yes, it was rough. Definitely not as good as the year before. They made a run to a Super Bowl, and definitely not as good this year. But I'll be honest with you, Ron. I'm a little torn on this one. Because if it weren't, if it weren't the situation, I could get excited about Brian Johnson. Those that listen to the show, I've mentioned Brian Johnson every time an offensive coordinator or quarterback position has come up here since his days at Mississippi State with Dan Mullen and Dak Prescott. Now here's what I'll tell you about Brian Johnson. One, he's a borderline genius. But two, all joking aside, not a football, just in general, dude is sharp as a tack. Number two, he has been a part of several ridiculous quarterback seasons and performances. Going back to Dak Prescott at Mississippi State under Dan Mullen. Also, was it Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, all those guys at Florida? He was a part of that offense. Now, Dan Mullen is I believe that was Dan Mullen, wasn't it?
Yep.
Dan Mullen is a play caller. So, I mean, you're not, you know, take it for what it's worth. I believe Brian Johnson was a part of what? Hey, Chris, what's the? It just slipped my mind. The local kid at U of H that crushed it and transferred to Miami had an unbelievable year quarterbacking at U of H. What was his name?
Not Ward. What was his name?
From right here in Houston, my mind just went blank. Had a
De'Arik King.
There you go. There you go. Had statistically had a ridiculous year running the football and throwing the football. Pretty sure Brian Johnson was running the show at that point in time before he transferred. So he is currently part of, like, really the only blemish on his resume would be last year in Philly when it fell apart. It started out really, really good. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ron. That started out really, really good, and then they lost like 6 of 7 late or something like that. Didn't the wheels come off?
They fell
apart.
Weren't
they 10-1 and the wheels came off?
They were 10-1, but the offense, I'll be honest, a lot of the complaints were very similar to what's happening with Bobby, what was talked about with Bobby Sloan.
Yeah,
a lot of creativity with the offense. Yeah. It was very predictable. Jalen took steps back. They couldn't get their passing game going. So.
That's the blemish with Brian Johnson. Now, again, this does not fit.
Because he took over for Steichen, right? When Steichen left, he was already there.
And yes, he was a quarterback coach for Jalen Hurts the year that they went to the Super Bowl. Steichen left. Brian moved up to OC, and the wheels came off. This is another one for me that I don't – with given the Texans' situation, this is another one that I would have to wait and see. Now, I will say this. I like right now, of all the guys they interviewed, Brian Johnson is my favorite.
He's at the top.
Yeah, he would be in terms of offensive mind, quarterback development. The guys that we can go out there and look and see, like, tangibly, this dude. Now, he's not responsible for all of it, because, like I said, he was not the play caller in some of those places. He was titled the offensive coordinator, but the quarterback development and how the quarterback excelled in damn near every situation it's tough to. Tough to turn your nose up at that one.
For me, it would be a situation that would continue to increase. Now, I don't know how well you know Brian, but you know him better than I do. I think off the bat, not knowing him well, it would sound like a situation of it doesn't seem like this is one where D'Amico is just saying, "Hey, Brian, it's yours."
I would not think so. I think Brian Johnson would be a come in, be the offensive coordinator, and we're going to help you hire the guys. We're going to keep this guy. We're going to keep that. That's what I would think. Now, the other good thing about Brian Johnson is he has been a part of Cliff Kingsbury's system, Dan Mullen's system, as you said, Shane Steichen's system, which was killer in it's not been as good in Indy, but it was killer in Philly. So he has been a part of several different systems, none of which I don't think any of them are –
And he's called plays, and there should be at least some hope of growth and what he learned from the first go around. It's just, I don't know, would that excite you all, Brian Johnson? You heard that, Brian Johnson? And not just because he's local and from Baytown, would that be the one? I would just say this would be a, hey, you like this hire, you damn well better be. Like, this is a hire to me that if it doesn't work, we're to me, in normal cases, would be a D'Amico's job maybe on the line.
Well, yeah, it's a super risky hire because it's a guy that doesn't have a ton of pelts on the wall of him, like him literally being the dude. He's been in some great systems with some head coaches that call plays, and he's been titled the offensive coordinator, but he doesn't have a ton of pelts on the walls in terms of this is my offense, this is what I run, shut up and get out of the room, it's my show. What? He doesn't have that, and Ron, the other part of it is that I'm not 100% sure, but I think it would be a complete overhaul of terminology. So you're getting away from the system, you're asking guys to start over, and you're hiring a guy that doesn't have the resume of obviously like a Chip Kelly like.
And the big one to me is you're hiring a guy who just had all the talent that they have in Philly and just got fired a year ago.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Their offense had a free fall the way that Bobby Slowick's offense just had a free fall, and you're hiring him to come in.
Yep.
To fix that, and that's what he just got fired. Now he's learned some things with the quarterback coach for Jaden Daniels. He's shown to be really good in terms, or at least his quarterbacks have been really good when he's been the quarterback.
Well, he is a no brainer quarterback coach. I mean, absolute tremendous quarterback coach. One of the best that you could ask.
So that one is, man, you can't fire Bobby Slowick to bring in a guy who did a Bobby Slowick with a lot more talent.
It's a risk.
Like I said, he didn't have Bobby's offensive line.
If you're just listing all of the guys, just generally speaking, body of work, what have they done? I think Brian Johnson is the best of the bunch right now for me. Now, when you get out, when you broaden that and you say, hey, what about the terminology change? What about the familiarity with the system? Now you get into some risky waters. I think Brian Johnson could be, like, I would look at Brian Johnson as the best candidate on this list, but I would also look at Brian Johnson as the riskiest candidate on this list. A lot of change
That's a strong, you better have it right, boy.
All right, Texans have requested interview Commanders assistant head coach and offensive pass game coordinator Brian Johnson. We will keep you up on that. That's the most recent candidate that the Texans have requested the interview. Not sure if they have received it or not. If they've accepted, if he's accepted, I don't know why he wouldn't. Come home, why wouldn't he? All right, now, Ron, Patrick Creighton last night on Area 45. I don't really like to share our airways, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, my.
I just don't. Not with negativity, right? Not with this kind of negativity. But when I heard it, I thought, yeah, Ron needs a chance to reply.
Mind you, Chris hadn't heard it, and he was on
Chris
show.
Chris was there. Don't let Chris get out of this. He was there.
He said he hadn't heard it.
And I'll be honest with you, I want to set it up a certain way, but I think the setup is part of what you're going to be a little bit, maybe a little sideways with. So I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess up what you hear. So here is last night on Area 45. Here is Patrick Creighton responding to Ron's question of, is C.J. Stroud still that dude?
Hell, there were some of you telling me he was better than Josh Allen, Patrick Creighton, before the season started. Like there was great belief that you had a dude. You still believe that right now?
Okay. By the way,
did you add shots fired.
Did you add the shots?
Yeah, I added the shots at the end. Shots fired.
So you, all right, so right
since you called straight. Can you stop it in the middle right there? I thought it was two cuts. I'm sorry, Chris. So that was, for everybody out there listening, for you, Ron, obviously you said it, you know. That is the topic at hand here. That's what you used to garnered the response of Patrick Creighton right here. Just so you know. I'm sorry, Chris, I messed that up. But yeah, that's Ron, and that's what kind of set these boys off on Area 45. Here's their response.
Did you add the shots?
Yeah, I added the shots at the end. Shots fired.
All right, so since you caught the stray.
What a bitch-ass take.
I mean, wow. I don't even know.
Oh, CJ the dude. We just watched him literally get murdered on a weekly basis. And a guy who openly, like I remember when the Kansas City Chiefs got their asses kicked in the Super Bowl because they couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. Well, CJ Stroud just went through that all year. Did you suddenly think Patrick Mahomes was a crappy quarterback? Oh, but now you'll say that to CJ Stroud? Bitch ass take.
All right, I'll let you process that for a minute. I thought it was a little aggressive, Ron.
Well, I'm not mad at Patrick. Patrick, in his heart, is a caller. He's a listener. That's what listeners do. Listeners hear, like, I know Patrick understands the business and what we're doing here, right? But he is a caller at heart. Like, what he did is what people text in and call, like, oh, what a... It wasn't a take, fool. It was a question. It was a question to start a conversation. And by the way, Patrick, it's a very fair question. All right? Yeah, do you wonder is the dude? I think it's a very fair question. The dude was in full-out tears about to crawl in the back of an ambulance with a player. I wonder, do you have the dude? The dude was out here. It wasn't just always him getting sacked. He was missing throws all over the place. It's a fair question if he's a dude. Now, Patrick, if you went on to listen, the take was given. See, that's what we do. Like, so then, and I'll give a lesson to many of you because Patrick is acting like a caller. So sit down, Patrick, 713-572-4610. Hell, you can jump on YouTube and Twitch as well. Patrick, as a caller here, what we do is, hey, we set up a question. At times, throw out a question, hey, to the room, to the people. What do you feel? How do you think about it? Right? Hell, I'll give some away coming up. as you set it up. Right here, we got one up. Ken Dorsey, he's somebody who has been looked at as an offensive coordinator. Is that somebody, would you rather have Ken Dorsey? Or would you rather have some of the guys that have been candidates? Ken Dorsey's called plays. See, it's a question. The take had to be given. The take was later given with, yo, I'm not as confident as I was at the end of last year, but now I'm more in, I think so.
There
I
it was.
Think he's
that's
the
what,
guy.
That's what I told you, Chris.
I think he's the guy.
I think so.
But it's a fair question. It's a fair question to look at CJ and say, CJ literally fell apart in a football game because his friend hurt his knee. Is that what the dudes do? That's a fair question. I'm not saying that that's going to be CJ the rest of the way. For 10 weeks, the team openly was coming out trying to do the how can we fix and make things better for CJ tour. You remember that? Hey, we got to get CJ back to being himself. We got to get CJ back to being himself. What happened when he played up against the dudes? He put up 30 whatever that was to 2 when he faced Lamar Jackson. Is that fair to question? Can he play with that dude? Patrick Mahomes' offensive line wasn't good either in that game. Will Anderson was all over his ass. What happened? It's a fair question. But listen, it's a question. Get in here. And many of you, I hope you learned that too. It's not the take when I'm asking the question. It's the question to start the discussion. Come on, Pat. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to embrace the caller right here with you, Pat. Patrick, one of my favorite texts that we get. You're better than that, Patrick.
Well done. Well done. I told Chris. I said that was the setup. That was the question. That wasn't his opinion. That's gonna be Ron's gonna go to town on that one.
The setup.
Well done, Ron Hughley. Well, with a mature way of doing it, and you taught the listeners out there a little bit about radio. You know, it would be easy for Ron to just come in and go, hey, Clint. You know, what I was thinking about last night, man. I was thinking, I really questioned myself. Was CJ as good his second year as he was his rookie year? Well, no. See, you take the extra time, put the extra thought into it, and how can I pose this topic into a question where it elicits opinions and thoughts and maybe even some cursing out of the listeners? Ron did a really good job. I thought it was a good, to me, Patrick proved exactly why it was a great question. A great question.
And you're right. Damn, I'm good. The question made him feel.
Oh, that's it.
I was in my CM Punk.
You didn't even
Punk.
Need to give an
I didn't
opinion.
Get to, I didn't even get to the opinion yet. I was in my CM Punk right there.
That's it.
Made him
Got
feel,
him.
Baby. Made him feel.
Got him.
And he agreed with, I'm guessing, the point. Coming up, Yordan Alvarez. he was given a he was given another another positive award, and I think it to me leads to another conversation. And listen, look out, it'll be a question leading into this conversation, but it leads to a conversation. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, dang it, I done made some callers, some listeners mad now.
Why, you called them Pat?
No, damn, thanks for the lesson, Ron. Well, I just want to tell
I thought it was very insightful.
Yeah,
many, they may have found it a little slightly disrespectful, but it's okay.
Some do. Many do think that the question is, God, it's a question. We'll get to it. All right. I was watching MLB Network, and they do the top position groups, guys. Starting pitcher, they had Framber 10th. I thought that was very low. I'm glad he was in the top 10, but barely. I feel like he's closer to the top five than he is to the bottom. But obviously Altuve was in it, had some Astros in there. But they did left field, and Yordan Alvarez was number one. Yordan Alvarez, who I believe is a designated hitter, but Yordan Alvarez in left field was the number one left fielder, and he's been voted that the last, because they don't do DHs, but he's been voted that the last, I think, 2 or 3 years, the number one left fielder. And if you listen to me, as I've said, my opinion and thought is he is the best hitter in baseball, to me. I understand Judge and these guys, and Ohtani's really good, but he can do anything with any pitch. He can hit for power, hit it anywhere, and his clutch factor is through the damn roof, right? And I don't know if there's any other player in baseball that I would one up at the plate in a clutch moment. He is, and he's shown it time and time again. But I think there is real pressure on him and real pressure on Joe Espada this year, because last year, his health was pretty decent. Didn't miss a lot of games. I don't know. And Chris, you can correct me if I'm. I don't think he went on the IL last year. I think he did miss some games and had some moments where he thought he might. If he did, it was maybe one stint. But I don't, like, last year, I felt like he was pretty much out there. They need that big time. And I agreed with the initial plan before all this Bregman stuff came back up, Clint, of, hey, we want to play Yordan more in at the DH spot to keep his legs and to keep him healthy, because the pressure is, Clint, is in the past, you know, there have been Kyle Tucker, there have been other guys around that when he has had to go to the IL that can pick up the slack. The starting pitching, the bullpen can pick up the slack. We've said it in the past, but it is a completely different thing this year. If that dude's not in the middle of the order this year, I know those days he'll have games up. It will look and feel and be completely different. They have got to keep him on the field more than they ever had before. So that's why, to me, the deal of, as you said, man, he'll Altuve to left field. The way that it makes it work is if he is the left fielder every day. And to me, they have got to really look at this, because they cannot afford even more than they couldn't afford it in the past years. They cannot afford to have that dude off the field and out of the lineup, because this lineup looks completely different now with him out of it.
Yeah, look, I think you make a great point. Like, he just, the pressure is ratcheted up. I'll be honest with you, I don't know that this team could afford him being out at any point in time before Tucker and Bregman left, to be completely honest with you. Like, you watch this team just kind of coast through and make one of the biggest comebacks we've ever seen with Tucker out of the mix, right? I don't know that this team is doing that without Yordan Alvarez. I don't know that this team, and I mean, I don't know if that team was doing it with Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker and Bregman if Alvarez was out. So, yeah, I agree with you. I've said it a million times. Like, Tucker leaving doesn't scare me nearly as much as it does a lot did a lot of folks. Bregman bouncing or potentially not being here. I guess there's still an outside shot he could come back, but Bregman bouncing doesn't scare me as much. And especially when you bring in guys like Christian Walker. Now, that opinion and that thought and that confidence is built solely around Yordan Alvarez being in the middle of it. I think you bring in Christian Walker, you bring in all of a sudden you got Yainer Diaz is clearly a guy that should be hitting your top five kind of deal. You can sandwich those guys. You still got Altuve. You can set your top four or five hitters can still be really good as long as you got that big boy in the middle.
And of course, he makes everything easier for everybody else, right? Yes. He's clearly going to be on base a lot, and a guy's not going to chase stuff to make whoever it is, whether it's Walker, Diaz behind him. I'm guessing Diaz and Walker, I'm sure they'll probably try to split the lefty-righty thing. It'll make things easier for them. And then whoever is in front of him, if he's batting in the two spot and it's Altuve, or if he's batting in the three spot and they want to put Pena back up there, whatever, he makes things different and they get to see other pitches. So for me, they have got to do whatever they can to keep that dude healthy, to keep that dude in the lineup. Now, of course, he ain't going to play 162. And I understand that. He's going to get some days off, and I understand that they're going to put him in there. But if Alex Bregman coming back means that Yordan Alvarez has to play in left field every day, like play 140, 150 games in left field, whew, I'm not saying hell with that, don't do it, but it's something to think about because I think you do run up. Now, Bregman being in the lineup would help, but still, I think you do run up the risk of having him injured. And, this to me is the year where we could really see an MVP-level year with him, and especially they got to have it from him.
Well, I'm on record. I really like him in left field. I don't have a problem with him playing multiple games. I don't have a problem with the workload. I understand you need to load manage the guy a little bit, whatever, because of the history. But with baseball, it's one of those. It's and with the Astros, for me, it's a little bit different in terms of whether he's DHing or playing left field. I know when rubber meets the road, the best left fielder is going to be in left field. When the games get important, when we get to a point where the games mean something, Yordan Alvarez is going to be in left field. Unless they sign somebody, Yordan Alvarez is going to be in left field when it matters the most. And Altuve is most importantly is not going to be in left field.
When it matters the most.
So it's to navigate the season, you've got several guys you can throw out there. To your point, load managing, do whatever you want to do. I'm more in these conversations. I'm more solely dialed in on what are they going to do when the playoffs get here, when the games start to matter in October, and.
But I would also say this is a year, to me, Clint Moore, that getting to the playoffs doesn't feel like as much of a guarantee or a feel like right. It feels like this year they're going to have to – like it's not going to just be there for them. I mean, hell, they had to work at it last year. Obviously, they had a 10-game deficit that they had to pick up. But I think they need him in there to get there, right? I do. I agree with you. If they get to the playoffs – yeah, he's going to be in the lineup. They're going to probably put forth the best lineup.
You say it's going to be a little more difficult to get there.
I think they got to, if he goes on the IL and he's gone for 2 weeks, that lineup to me looks a lot different in it. All right, coming up, the big story right now is this OC situation. We've heard about the latest one with Brian Johnson, Baytown native, as the latest one they will interview. There's another former coordinator who has called plays much like Brian Johnson, and I'm curious Clint's thoughts and yours as well. Curious the thought, would you be more comfortable with this guy or some of the other guys they've been interviewing? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back in as we're live here on The Drive. If you're looking for Tyler, if you're on YouTube and Twitch and you see a little different face, that is Christopher Santiago. Tyler is at Disney having a good time. I'm sure riding all kinds of roller coasters and enjoying himself. But we are in good hands with Chris Santiago. He is on nightly. Don't miss it on nightly. You're not doubling it up tonight, are you?
No, not tonight. Mm-mm.
Real G would have done it.
I guess I'm not.
Hey, I'm with you, dog. Hey, man, I worked this for, but I ain't got that 10 o'clock to you. Mm. Nah, just joking. But no, catch him every night. Area 45, the boys put together a good, passionate show, as you heard in the last segment. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, and Chris Santiago every night, 6 to 10, live and local. And no better place to go, nobody better, 6 to 10. So stay tuned for them every night with Chris as well. But Chris is with us today. And again, I think you said it right now, especially when it comes to the Texans, to the big hottest things, the Rockets right now, what they're doing, and then this OC search right now for the Texans. Because I think it answers a lot of questions. Is it going to be a brand new system? Is it going to be the same? What kind of guy are they going to have? And to me, Clint, I know right now you have been, I would say the word, disappointed, if not maybe worse than that, but at least disappointed in the names that you've seen thus far to be hired. To be interviewed right now, I would say at least disappointed.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. I'm disappointed in the lack of a plan. Like, I don't. It doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to what they're doing at this point in time, right? It's guys that the majority of the guys have had very little to no, like, true, full autonomy. This is my offense and this is what I'm running. And guys seem to be all over the map in terms of what kind of offense they're bringing to the table. There's Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor who are in the building, which is, man, is that are they trying to keep the continuity together, keep all that together? And there's several guys that are outside the building. There's some guys that are in the same system from a terminology standpoint from the different teams in the league that are running the same system. There's some guys that are outside of the system. I don't know. It seems like, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know that there's a whole hell of a lot of guys available that would really blow my skirt up, if I'm being completely honest. So, it's more what scares me in these situations is, you fire somebody that, yes, you can justify firing them. Understand that. But you could also justify keeping them. I firmly believe that about Bobby Sloak. Like, if they went another year. Now, you got some of the loudest critics would be disappointed. But I think overall it would have been like, all right, Bobby, you got to put up or shut up. You better move that offensive line coach, get him up out of here. You better make some adjustments. But you could have put together a case to justify keeping the guy as well. So you move on from him. Cool. The fear is you move on from somebody and find out there's not a replacement. Find out that you're back into the inexperienced, not real sure what we're getting pool of candidates. That's the part for me that is more of the risk here.
And as I've said, you know, maybe this is the plan and they full well have a plan and this is a part of it. I know you would seem it would be like, ooh, you feel like they may have had a name and had somebody lined up and bam, you know, much like the Lions did, they would have this boom, 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 we got our guys and they'll be ready. And
well, maybe but if part you, of their but plan. It's like with Detroit. Like they knew. They had a guy in house. They've known for years that Ben was gonna for a couple years now that Ben was gonna eventually leave.
And Aaron.
They had a guy in house. Yeah, and Aaron. And they had a guy in house. Boom. Right there. It's my guy right here. Let's go. Hank Fraley's the guy. Let's move on. To me, that exudes confidence from the organization. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if Hank's worth a damn, but Dan Campbell damn sure believes he is. This here is like we may like this guy, but we're going to check. We're going to go flirt and go date all these others until we make a decision. That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me personally.
Yeah. I want to throw this name out because obviously there are other teams that are looking. And I'm just in comparison, as you said, probably not a lot of candidates that would really get you going, but clearly these guys haven't thus far. And look, the Cowboys are interviewing Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey, who was with Buffalo, and had some good go with Josh Allen, and then obviously they let him go and went with Joe Brady midseason. He was with Cleveland, and in the Watson situation had some okay moments with Jameis, but you know Jameis on Jameis every once in a while. But he does have experience, and I wouldn't love it, you know, necessarily be like, "Ooh, this is it." But him compared to the other guys, like is that more of the route you would be more comfortable with than because, like as you said, who would be excited about a Nick Caley? Is that more of the route that you would like? Hey, somebody that at least has experience calling plays.
Yeah, I don't know. Ken Dorsey. Look, no, the answer is no. I mean, Ken Dorsey called plays for less time than Brian Johnson did. I mean, Ken Dorsey called plays. When did they move on to Joe Brady? What week was that?
I feel like Ken had a year, didn't he?
No, he was only the offense coordinator for 1 year, and it had to be the year that he got canned before he went to.
I thought he was a coordinator when Daboll left,
and Daboll's been there 2 years.
And then he got fired in the middle of last year. Anyway, he wasn't. He's not been a coordinator for long stretch.
Right. In either way it goes, you may be right on that. Either way it goes, I don't know that that's not the pelts on the wall. I've got an identity. I know exactly what I'm doing offensively, start to, you know, top to bottom. I'm going to build my staff. No, that he doesn't fit that bill for me, and that's what would ultimately make me the most comfortable.
I don't love that either. But I mean, there is a thought already. Is a thing that you would like to see, is somebody that's got some experience doing that. Would you rather feel like the young guy that maybe there's some upside, or at least the guy that you know has had experience calling.
You are right. It was 22 and 23 when he was the offense coordinator in Buffalo. So it was half of 23, and the first year it was all him. You are correct.
And first year it was good. You said there's no candidates that kind of get you excited. I think the one that we've heard for you and many people is Chip Kelly. That's the one that I think people have gotten excited about. And I would just say this, to me, I think the Chip Kelly thing is over. I would probably, if that's your dream, if that's your hope, I've seen some people text in Chip Kelly or nobody else. I think you might want to come off of that. Especially now we're starting to see the candidates. Like, we're starting to see the guys that they're bringing in. Like, there's nobody Brian Johnson's the first person they've brought in that has NFL, him and Bill Lazor, NFL play calling experience. Yeah, Everyone, college quarterback coaches, their own quarterback coach. To me, I don't think Chip Kelly and his vibe and his get down matches with the two people it needs to match with. D'Amico and CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
I think that's why the Chip Kelly thing is out. I don't, for me, and I am just putting what I'm putting together, especially from what we've seen over the last 2 years with D'Amico and what we were seeing in terms of the candidates. I don't get the sense that D'Amico is ready to bring somebody in and just say, I'm just going to hold on to this defense, and I'm going to just hold on to some of the overall, you know, coaching, head coaching duties, and you have that offense. I think he is going to be somebody that's going to be more involved than that.
Well, I mean, they're definitely at a fork in the road. The Texans are at a fork in the road in a sense of what direction D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio want to take moving forward with their offensive minds, right? I mean, do you want to hire a guy within where you ultimately pick his staff? Even if we say you just influence his staff, do you want to pick a guy from within, either in the building or within this system, and bring them in and let them cut their teeth? And again, D'Amico or Nick and everybody else is involved, and where it's an open door policy and it's a collaborative effort? Or do you want to bring somebody in and hand them the reins of the Houston Texans offense and say, hire your staff? install your playbook, install your offense.
I don't think that's
handle the offense, the guys, the way that you want to handle the guys from a coaching perspective. The way that you would with Chip Kelly, the way that the Washington Commanders did with Cliff Kingsbury. You know, the way that Philly did with Kellen Moore. You know, these really good offensive minds that are coming in with either a definite CEO coach or a defensive-minded head coach, and the reins are all theirs. You know, do you feel like you're at that fork in the road? Which direction are you going to go? I think that's where the Texans are at. We'll see which direction. It looks like they are much more interested in going the route of come on in and be a piece of what we're doing here,
yeah,
and let's have a collaborative effort than, hey, man, this is your show.
And I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. Hell, D'Amico and everybody in there obviously know
right.
their guys and work with them every single day and have an understanding of it. I'm just simply saying, for those of you, if Chip Kelly was the one that got you excited, and I could completely see why it is, he would be the one that got you excited. He's had issues with, you know, some former players, you know, not, you know, there are several former players in his time in the NFL who are not fans of his. And I do think that D'Amico leans more to a player's coach. And I think that's kind of how Absolutely. They run things more as a player's coach. Now, some coaches like the, all right, I'm a player's coach, but I'm gonna have that one dude that plays bad cop, and I'm gonna walk away. And there's some that are like, no, man, these are the vibes I want, and these are the vibes I want. And he knows his quarterback, and maybe there's a thought of this is how and what is best for my quarterback, and how he maneuvers through things. So to me, that's why I would just say the Chip Kelly thing, it's a reason why he hasn't gotten an interview yet. And maybe I'll be surprised, and I'll be the first one to come on and say, okay, hey, they decided to interview him. It's weird that they waited till Friday, but they decided to interview him. But
I mean, right, here's another interesting thing about the Texans and this offensive coordinator hire is the one thing that I experienced in the league is you've got coaches that are, you know, very very strategic and very intentional about, I'm going to keep every player, including the quarterback, at an arm length's distance. The thought of, like, I may have to cut these dudes and change their life forever, and I don't want to be their friends when I do it. The thought that I gotta discipline these guys. I can't ever let these guys get comfortable with me. Like Parcells was that way. Parcells was a keep everybody at distance, with the exception of a couple of guys when I was there. And he wasn't. I mean, it was literally like out of pocket a-hole all the time. He didn't want anybody to ever get comfortable, kind of deal. Yeah. And then I also experienced coaches that really ultimately had no business being a head coach in the league, and it was almost like intimidated by the Troy Aikmans and Emmitt Smiths of the world, right? I don't think I've ever experienced the relationship that we see here in Houston, where D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud are locked at the hip, man. When you come in here as an offensive coordinator, that's not going to change. You're just going to have to realize that the head coach of this football team and the quarterback of this football team has a unique relationship. Like, I would be very interested to see, and I don't know because I don't cover these other teams, but I would be very interested to see how many coaches around the league, call them what you want, players, coaches, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I mean, there's a lot of players, coaches. But I'm talking about where there's a different, super unique, super close, super supportive relationship between the head coach and the quarterback like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And to a point where, as you said, it's so tight that it jumps over you, and you got to navigate through that.
Well, it's like usually there's a pecking order, right? The quarterback talks to the quarterback coach and the quarterback will meet with on a daily basis. The OC, they all kind of collaborate ideally, and then you go from there. Where it seems to me like a lot of this is going to pass, whether it directly or indirectly, is going to pass through D'Amico Ryans because of how close C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans actually are. It may be a beautiful thing. I don't know. All I'm saying is that relationship and how close those two guys are, and almost how D'Amico has, again, anointed him as the leader and as the spokesperson, as this guy and as that guy. Like, that's a unique situation here in Houston.
And it's different that it's like D'Amico and CJ as the defensive coordinator as opposed to Andy and Mahomes.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you got to work so closely with the guy.
Ooh, I mean, you're working so closely with it. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire. Again, there is a new person who has been brought in to be interviewed by the Texans for their OC job, former offensive coordinator, so he does have experience in calling plays and a local flavor to it as well. We'll catch you up on that coming up next.